Have you ever held a newborn baby? There is something very holy about it. My daughter was not born when she was not a newborn when she came into our family, but I can remember what it was like when I first held my boys. Their hair was fine and silky. Their skin was so soft and perfectly smooth. And then there was that special way that they smelled. They were all swaddled, warm, snug, and content as I held them in my arms. Then I drew them in, putting my face up next to theirs, and breathed deeply. There is no way to really describe the aroma of a newborn child. It has to be the purest thing that has ever entered my body, the purest thing that has ever entered into the depths of my soul. For me, when I breathed in the scent of newborn babies, it was then that I suddenly knew the smell of God, the fragrance Adam and Eve must have experienced walking in the garden with the completely untainted love of God. As a father, I was not able to fully connect to my children in the womb. It was when I first held my boys up close and deeply breathed them into me that my love story with them began. Yep. Still get choked up over that. Now, me getting choked up about it, this love story has not always been easy. But, nonetheless, it is unbreakable. It's never ending, and it's for all eternity. The book of Genesis gives us a glimpse into the beginning of the greatest love story of all time. There are two separate creation stories, the first beginning in chapter 1 and the second in chapter 2. Both creations came out of God through God's love. In the second creation story, God loved what was created, and God needed someone to till the ground, needed someone to tend to it. So God scooped up some dirt and breathed pure love into the soil, and Adam was created. God filled the garden with lush vegetation and every living creature. In God's love of Adam, God realizes that he is without a partner, and he creates Eve. Through God's love, Adam and Eve became one flesh and walked in the garden, breathing in the scent of God. God would have come and walked with his children. The goodness of God was all Adam and Eve knew. That's all the knowledge of goodness that they would have known. And God wanted to keep it that way. God wanted to protect his children from the pain and suffering that comes with the other knowledge, the knowledge of evil. God had shielded not only Adam and Eve, but the whole garden from evil by locking its power in a tree in the middle of the garden. God knew that if Adam and Eve came to know evil, they would be separated from their father. They thought of God's children, that thought just experiencing their children, experiencing evil, and being separated from God must have been just unbearable for God. God said that if they even touched the fruit on that special tree, that they would die. Death must have seemed better to God than to have his children experience the trauma that this separation would cause in their lives. God knew what evil was capable of doing to humanity. But God, even through God's love, was unable to stop what was to come. Now, growing up, and even into adulthood, when I would hear this story of Adam and Eve and how we experienced what they call the fall, I always imagined that this snake, Eve actually used the word, tricks Eve into eating the fruit. And then Eve tricks Adam, you know, grabbing some fruit, it looks so good, and then going over to him and say, here, this is great, and him eating it then. All throughout growing up, the blame of this rested on Eve. But this is not the case. The scriptures tell us that Adam was with Eve the whole time she was talking with the serpent. And really, the serpent did not lie. The serpent told the truth. They already knew the knowledge of goodness. They knew God. They didn't know evil. So they would have gotten the knowledge of good and evil together. That was the truth. But Adam was there the whole time. He heard the whole thing. He didn't try to even stop her from eating the forbidden fruit. I mean, really, all Adam knew, as all Eve knew, was the goodness and love of God. They would have had no concept on what was really going to happen. But whatever did happen, when Eve ate the fruit, something changed in her. They were no longer one flesh. There was some sort of separation. Now, Adam could have stayed in the garden. But it is my belief that Adam loved Eve so much that he was willing to give it all up. He was willing to sacrifice knowing that pure scent of God in order for him to remain connected to the love that he had for Eve. Genesis not only gives us the ultimate love story between God and creation, Genesis also gives us the love story between two humans, a story of ultimate sacrifice. Our children are born out of God's love. They're born out of the love story, both God for us and the love story between two humans. But they're born pure. They're born without having the knowledge of evil, only that comforting knowledge of love. Now, it doesn't take long. It takes longer for some children than others, depending on their environment, what they're exposed to, what trauma they have. But they experience evil from us. We teach them well. We teach them about pain and suffering and separation. We teach them about loss and abuse and hunger and greed, and really the list can go on and on of what evil can really do and what is doing. I think deep in our souls we remember the purest nature of God's love, and we long for it, and we can't have it in the purest nature like we could in the garden, so we try to comfort ourselves. Maybe fake it a little bit. And we do that. We try to cover it up, but with all kinds of means. With food. With drugs. With lies. All kinds of things. It's like we want to cover it up because we can't have it. But the scriptures, they give us what we need. Genesis gives us what we need. That sacrificial love between Adam and Eve. Willingness to give it all up to stay in relationship and connection with another human being. To love each other sacrificially. Now, being who we are and there being so much darkness, so much despair, we need a reminder. It'd be nice if we could just hold on to Genesis and remember it there. But we need reminders that God had to come and walk with us again. The garden isn't here. There's still a lot of love in it. So God came and walked with us and gave us a reminder through that love shown through Jesus Christ. A love that walked in places that humanity said, don't go there. To walk with people humanity said, don't deserve to be walked with. Jesus touched, loved, comforted, cried for the pain and the suffering that evil's caused in this world. That walking beside us, Jesus was willing to sacrifice it all, but in two ways. Jesus was willing to give up that pure scent of God. Had to give it up, empty God's self to come and walk with us again. That's sacrifice number one. And sacrifice number two, we know a lot about, but we seem to forget. Walking with each other in each other's pain all the way to death. Us becoming living examples of Jesus that allows us to continue to remind one another who we are as humanity. And who we are and what we're supposed to do to resist evil. To open our mouths when we see it and not stand for it anymore. It's crazy because when we do, we're going to be seen as crazy, as just throwing away our family. Our family, we were doing it so much, Jesus' family came and said, he's crazy, we're sorry, we're going to take him away now. Crazy Christians, that's who we should be. So loving and so loud that we don't stand for it anymore, that we might be seen as crazy. When we stand up for one another, we restore our relationships. We restore our relationship with God and one another. And as we continue to restore those relationships, maybe those memories that are stored so deeply within us will well up and will once again breathe in the purest nature of God. Amen.